This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How can you control Europe's volatile energy prices? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Twining, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Since the war in Ukraine and the Kremlin's subsequent block on most of its energy supply to Europe, the cost of gas has spiked. The European Union has been trying to cut its reliance on oil and gas from Russia while ensuring it has enough for the coming winter that's still affordable. Well, today the European Commission will announce how they intend to make that work. Here's the BBC's Jessica Parker in Brussels.
So we do expect some detail a little bit later on in the day, but being the EU, there have already been a number of leaks. So we've seen some of the detail spill out. And one of these ideas is a kind of market correction mechanism that would kick in where there's been a sort of real volatile spike and the prices have gone extremely high, and they would put a ceiling on those prices within certain trading hubs. And then longer term, they're looking at particularly liquefied natural gas. Europe's getting a lot of that from America. They're becoming more reliant on LNG. They're looking at ways to actually try and reform the benchmark for LNG, but that wouldn't kick in until next year. It's extremely technical. We do expect more details from the European Commission later today, but they've come under quite a lot of pressure from member states to try and do things to try and control gas prices. But some member states really have been actually pushing for price caps on the wholesale price of gas. I think others, though, feared that that would go too far and distort the market.
And indeed, you mentioned the member states. Presumably, they would all have to agree for something like this to go ahead.
To some extent. So sometimes it's not a kind of majority vote, but I think they certainly like to try and establish consensus. And these are, my understanding is, legislative proposals. So they would have to go through the European Parliament, the European Council, which is basically the member states as well. And I think maybe that's why you've seen to some extent this kind of cautious approach from the European Commission. They know there are member states who are very nervous about going as far as some others would like, which is why you end up sometimes with these rather technical compromise proposals. It's widely accepted that the kind of age of relying on Russian and relatively cheap Russian fossil fuels is coming to an end. They're having to cast around for alternatives, as I say, including from the United States, but that's proving more expensive and the market has to adjust as well, which is costly. So there's every effort being put in to try and mitigate that as much as possible so it doesn't hit the European economy as hard as some fear. You often hear whispers of the word recession around as Europe heads into this winter. This isn't a crisis that is just about this winter. It's about next winter as well.
Jessica Parker in Brussels, thank you.
Pleasure.
Looking at China now, which has delayed the release of its third quarter economic report. It was due to be published this week during the Congress of the ruling Communist Party. President Xi Jinping has used the high profile gathering to say that China will aim for high quality economic growth. Pushan Dutt, an economics professor at INSEAD Business School, says this delay is unusual.
This is a very rare event. Almost all governments, even in the midst of war, financial crisis, health shocks, they always release GDP statistics. Just keep in mind, even at the height of COVID, the Chinese government was putting out all of these GDP retail sales statistics. So my only guess is that, you know, those numbers were not very good and would not sort of lead to the objective of doubling, the Chinese economy in the time span that President Xi announced. They need about a 5.5% growth rate to meet the targets announced by President Xi. But I don't think that's going to happen this year because their growth is being squeezed by the zero COVID policy. There is now a trade war going on. And of course, by the crash in the real estate sector.
Professor Pushan Dutt there. Let's look at the markets. And sterling paused on Tuesday after surging almost 2% the day before, following the UK's dramatic U-turn on its fiscal plans. This also pushed European shares higher, building on the previous session's rally.
to Uganda now, where women in the city of Lira have been banned from sitting in the front seats of trucks. Why? Well, it's a new bylaw passed after truckers' unions said they believe female passengers could distract drivers and potentially cause road traffic accidents. The BBC's Grace Courier has more from Lira in northern Uganda.
A scarf on her head, another on her waist, and a jacket. She is ready for the journey ahead on this chilly morning. Mary Aziku is a market trader in Lira, northern Uganda. For the past 10 years, she has been getting lifts with truck drivers to the market that is about 20 kilometers from her home. She tells us what she does.
I'm a business lady. I do sell clothes.
Mary is now no longer able to sit in the front cabin because it is claimed she might distract the driver. If she wants to get a lift, she has to sit at the back with the goods. How does she feel about this?
There was a year also I'd been sitting in the front. But the way, I don't know why people are blaming us. The way we dress, like me now, right now, if I remove from my lasso, if you are going to sit in the front, even if in the front, you first do what you put on your, you tie your lasso like this. Can a driver see you there?
Tough question. Now, a meeting took place between the Lira Transporters Association, market vendors, and other stakeholders. They decided to ban women from sitting at the front of trucks because of safety concerns. At first, it was a guideline and is now a bylaw.
There are two seats at the front. They're reserved. But because I'm female, despite being in a trouser, this is my place.
It was introduced because of a road accident involving a truck driver in Lira. 9 people died. The police said the driver was speeding and intoxicated. He was trying to impress his female passengers, they claimed. Bernard Anyeko is the publicity secretary of Lira Transporters Association.
We identify that sitting of women in front of the vehicle, it is the cause of those road accidents. Some of them, they went to the market in order to charge for their husband or for their wife. So sitting of them in front of the vehicle, sometimes they can sit anyhow in order to attract the driver.
The government does not agree with this local ban and has concerns about the safety of women in the region now that they have to travel at the back of the trucks. Female activists as well as female citizens of Lira have raised concerns about the current situation. They believe it puts women into precarious situations and will have a negative impact on their livelihoods.
Grace Courier there. And finally, today is the official birthday of the BBC, now a global broadcasting icon. Here's David Sillitoe.
To hello, Marconi House, London, calling. To hello, Marconi House, London, calling.
The voice of Arthur Burrows, the BBC's first director of programmes, one of just 4 employees when it started in 1922.
We were anxious to know whether the government would permit firms like ours to exploit broadcasting here as in America.
100 years on, the BBC will be marking its anniversary over the next few weeks across its output. The King will appear in a special edition of The Repair Shop. Strictly Come Dancing will feature BBC theme tunes. The Poet Laureate, Simon Armitage, has also been commissioned to reflect on the BBC's relationship with the nation, which began with the first broadcast in November 1922. A short news bulletin, which was read twice, the second reading at a rather slower pace, in case anyone wanted to take notes.
David Sillitoe there. Incidentally, the World Service is slightly younger. We were on the scene 10 years later. In London, I'm Sasha Twining with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.